Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome again to another episode of Evangelize for Life with your host, Stephen Glover. So glad that you are once again able to join me for our part two discussion on the true Islam, not the Islam that is promoted in the secular media today, not the Islam that is identified or revealed by many of the imams who dwell in deception, but the true Islam according to the teachings of the Quran. So, before we begin or get into the discussion today, we're going to open up in the word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the truth of scriptures, where we are encouraged to not to participate in the evil deeds of darkness, but we are to expose them. And we just pray, God, for our world, that what is happening now is that Islam is being exposed for what it really is, and that is it finds its origin in demonic and satanic activity. We pray, God, that, Lord, we know your purposes and your plan is coming to pass as prophesied many years ago, and we pray, Father, that more people, their eyes will be opened regarding the deception of Islam. Give your servant, fill him with your spirit, and I pray, God, I may speak your words that bring you the greatest glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin today, since we ran out of time yesterday. We want to get right into our discussion. We're going to begin, of course, reading scripture, because we want to understand the Quran based on scripture, and the reason being is that there's a verse, and I wanted to look at today, because it's so important, guys, that we understand what the Quran teaches. When we look around the world, 50 areas of rioting, murdering, and burning, and pillaging is taking place right now as we speak. People are being killed. Christians are being martyred, and they're using this recent release of this film about the life of Muhammad as an excuse to kill. And we looked at Genesis 16 yesterday, where we referred to descendants of Hagar and Ishmael as being wild donkey of men, where their hand would be against every man and every man's hand would be against them. And that's exactly what we see going on in our world today. The origin, the motives, the drive that we see from the Muslim world is based in the Quran, not based on the teachings of individuals who are trying to disguise Islam here in America, but we see the true Islam around, going on around the world. Now, it's interesting that when you read Surah chapter 3, and we're going to look here in verse 54, and where Allah, or what they describe as Allah, is described or revealed as the best deceiver. It says, and they deceive, and Allah deceives, and Allah is the best deceiver. Now, what does that tell us about the God that they serve, the God that they follow? There are other verses that I mentioned yesterday that it's okay to lie as long as it reaches the objective of the Quran or of the Muslim people, and that is world domination. But their God that they follow is described as a deceiver or as a liar. Now, let's look at this from the biblical perspective. If you turn to John chapter 8, Jesus addressing the Pharisees who rejected him, who rejected his teaching, who attempted to fall back on their heritage of being Jews, of being descendants of Moses, of being descendants of Abraham, and that their heritage alone will guarantee them salvation. And so Jesus rebukes them because he says to them that they were from God. They would do the deeds of their father Abraham. Abraham, of course, believed God and was a credit to him righteousness because of the fact that he took God at his word, trusted God, and believed in the word of God. Now we have the word manifested in the flesh. God, Jesus, having proven himself to be God, to be the Messiah because of the multitude of miracles that he performed, that they were eyewitnesses of, firsthand eyewitnesses, not secondary, but they were firsthand witnesses of the things that Jesus did. They heard him preach, they heard him teach, they heard him reference the Old Testament, the Torah, and they still would not believe. Now, it's called an ad hominem, is when someone begins a personal attack. And this is exactly what you see here in John chapter 8, having and could not argue with Jesus in any other form or fashion, began to attack his character. And beginning in verse 41, they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God," referring to Jesus being born of a virgin, not having a earthly father. And so instead of seeing that as a miraculous sign that God, that this was God in the flesh, that God had to, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus was not only God, but he was also man, but he got his deity through the Holy Spirit and his humanity through his mother Mary. And so instead of seeing that as a work of God, as Isaiah prophesied, and this being a fulfillment of Scripture, that a virgin would give birth to a son, his name would be called Emmanuel, his name would be called Jesus, which means saving humanity from their sins. Instead of acknowledging that and accepting that, they began to use that in a derogatory manner and to characterize or to label Jesus as being an illegitimate child. And so Jesus' response was that if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. And he says, and why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my words. They were blind. God had hardened their hearts like Pharaoh when he would not let the children of Israel go. Not that his heart was hardened by God, but his heart was already hard. And so God allowed him to continue in his deception. And the same here with the Pharisees, that they too were deceived. Why were they blind? They were children of darkness. They were, as Jesus told them in John chapter 9, that blind, he came to restore sight to blind, but if they were blind, they would now see. But because they claimed that they see, they were actually in darkness. And so here's an example that he's referring to the fact that they cannot understand the word. Why? Because they're not real children of God. They're not really born again. They don't really believe in him. And he compares their darkness, their deception to Satan in verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus is comparing the Pharisees and the scribes with unbelieving chief priests and religious leaders, as comparing them to snakes who, in the Garden of Eden, began the not only the fall of man, which is a direct result of the lies that Satan promoted, but here in Genesis, if you turn there in Genesis chapter 3, we see that this is where lying originated, where God had told Adam and he had given instructions to Adam, and Adam relayed that information on to his wife. But there in the garden, Satan was able to manipulate Eve, manipulate her in a manner that to get her to rebel and disobey the word of God by lying to her. And so his response to God's law, God's ordinances, God's precepts was that he said to Eve, you shall not eat. Did God say, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die? And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So what was going on? That Eve interacting with Satan, usurping the authority of her husband. Satan went around him, got to Eve, and deceived her into thinking that she would not die if she ate of the fruit of the knowledge tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he was able to deceive her from the beginning, and this is where he refers to them or the Pharisees as being the father, as being associated with Satan, because he deceived him and he caused him to fall into sin. Now, that is just an example of his lying, but we know even there he misused scripture. We saw in Matthew chapter 4, even his interaction with Jesus, that he misused scripture. Again, that's a deception, that's a lie, and this is where we see Islam and its origin is found in Satan, found in the demonic realm, because Satan from the beginning is the father of lies, and according to 2 Corinthians 11:4, that Satan appears as an angel of light. He appears as if he brings truth, but in fact and in reality, he doesn't bring truth, he brings a lie. Now, I want to do this. I want to refer to a clip. This is a man named Osama Dadak. He is a Egyptian-born Christian, and much of the violence and the murdering and killing that we hear in the news, much of it is taking place in Egypt. Egypt recently overthrown by the Muslim Brotherhood. Oh no, the power went out. Gotta be kidding. Sorry about the interruption there. We lost power temporarily. Let's see if we can pick up from where we left off. We were discussing that Satan appears as an angel of light, and his job is to deceive. And we know that according to Galatians chapter 1, where Paul spoke of any other gospel that is not the gospel that is declared according to Paul is a false gospel. And we know that based on these two verses, Galatians 1 and also 2 Corinthians 11, that Satan will come as light. He will appear as an angel and has done that before, because Paul said, even if an angel brings to you other doctrine, and that's exactly what we see took place with Muhammad in the cave where he received his revelation. We see that happen with Mary Baker Eddy or Taz Russell or any of these other individuals, that Satan did come at them as an angel of light. Now, I wanted to refer to Osama Shattuck. I had just mentioned he is a Christian that was born in Egypt, the same Egypt where much of the warring and the fighting and the war for, let me type in his name real quick because I lost it earlier. He is a Christian that was born in Egypt, but now has a ministry to Muslims, where he trains people to share the gospel, Christians to share the gospel with Muslims, because he believes that they can be saved, and it's true that God desires none to perish. So let's listen to an excerpt.
Come direct.
That was an excerpt from the Sama Dadak teaching a group of individuals about Allah and about the comparison of Allah to the Christian God. One thing that he mentioned is that Allah loves those who fight for his cause, which is basically jihad. Now, one thing we do know is that we read the Quran, and I do have a Quran that is from his ministry that has been translated into English. And I've learned from reading it that the reason why we see much of the fighting that goes on, that the only way a Muslim's hand can be blotted out is by dying or killing in a war. And this is found in Surah 195. So the Lord answered them, "I will not lose the work of a worker among you, whether male or female, some of you from the others." So those who immigrate and or migrate and are forced out of their homes and have suffered in my cause and engaged in war and killed, I will atone for their sins and I will admit them into gardens. Below them the rivers flow a reward from Allah. So here's an example that instead of Jesus Christ dying and paying for their sin and believing in that he atoned and that the propitiation or the wrath of God was poured out on his son, the Muslim must die and atone for his own sin. And in a death in jihad and fighting the holy war, according to the Quran, is how they atone for their sins. Now, that is in direct contrast to what the Bible teaches. That the Bible clearly, Jesus said in John chapter 8, in the same chapter we read from earlier, where we were discussing about the Pharisees, we were discussing how Jesus said that you are sinless, and you are, your father is the father of lies, who is Satan. He said to them, "I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." It's to lie and to deceive and to masquerade the truth in order that the Muslim would die in their sins, die without having atoned, having their sins forgiven through the blood of Christ, having sprinkled or washed in his blood that purified, that reconciled man back to God. And so knowing that if and he didn't die in Christ, he will spend eternity in hell. And as you heard the excerpt, that Allah desires that people spend eternity in hell. And even then, most Muslims and all Muslims are, according to the Quran, will spend any time in hell, and of course Allah is the one who determines whether or not they get out. But we see that this deception is continuing. And the reason why we're doing this program is so that we may bring the truth, and the truth, according to Scripture, will set man free. We thank you again for joining us, and we'll pick up on Monday another part of this particular discussion. May God bless you.
never heard.